الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, I wish to relate to you an incident of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh, the great sage of our time, a great alim, a wali of Allah, a man who was of principle, a master in Quran, Hadith, and Sharia, with outstanding qualities. There is an incident mentioned wherein once he was traveling from Saharanpur to Kanpur by train. So he was about to board the train when he had with him extra luggage. So it was the correct thing there to have weighed that luggage, that extra luggage, and pay for it. And that was the intention of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So he had people with him. And suddenly he asked about the extra weight. Somebody had given him a bundle of sugar cane. So this was extra weight that he had to carry and he had to pay for. So then the people around him, they told him not to worry. There were other non-Muslim workers working there for the railway. And they realized who Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi was. He was well known even amongst the non-Muslims. So they said, nothing to worry, we have made a plan already. Hazrat asked, what plan have you made? He said, no, we have spoken to the guards who will also board this train and who have been deputed to check for those who have got extra luggage and whether they have paid for it or not. So we have spoken to them. Let us imagine this and understand this incident. A bundle of sugar cane, and obviously the weight cannot be so much. And Hazrat is inquiring, what about the money that I have to pay for this, the extra load? And they have comforted him and said, no, these other people who are working here, they have spoken to the guards who will board this train. So nothing for you to worry about. Hazrat asks, "Phir aage ka kya hoga? What will happen thereafter? These guards will come with him on this train." There is a norm at that time, then they will come from one station to another station, then they'll jump off there, and those guards on that station, then they'll carry on with this train. So they replied that these guards who will accompany this train, they will speak to the other guards on the next station. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says, "Phir aage kya hoga?" And then what? What will happen after that? He said, then after that, you are reaching Kanpur, that's your destination. Hazrat said, aage kya hoga? What will happen after that? Hazrat, this is your final destination, the train will stop there, it does not go beyond that. He said, nay. Aage ka ek aur station hai. Listen very carefully, brothers and elders. Aage ka ek aur station hai. There is another station beyond that. They were perplexed. Hazrat, this is the final point, destination, the train won't go beyond that. It does not go beyond that. That's the journey. What station are you talking about beyond this? He said, the station of the Day of Qiyamah. When we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to account for every single deed in this world, every single cent you have to pay for. Regardless of those people who are non-Muslims and even understood who Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi's personality was, and they said, we'll make a plan for him, we'll speak to the guards, so don't worry, he does not have to worry about it. It can be overlooked. He was conscious of the fact that it is not permissible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who are around him, they were very prominent people, they were Hindus standing there, they were absolutely impressed. They said, even in this time and age, we get people who have got such type of consciousness that bothers them. This is one incident. But the question I would like to pose to myself, and of course all of you who are listening today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful deen. And this is the true deen, the deen of Islam. The qualities that have been mentioned of a believer and a Muslim in the Quran, in the Sunnah, are such beautiful, noble qualities. The character of a believer, the conduct of a believer, the mannerism of a believer, the manner in which he deals with people, the manner in which he does his transactions, how he keeps to his promise, he never breaks his oath, he is never treacherous, he never lies, he never deceives people, he is kind, he is polite, he is not vulgar, he is not abusive, he controls his anger, he is soft-hearted, he overlooks the faults of others. These are some of the good qualities mentioned of a believer. And these are the qualities that draws a non-believer towards the beautiful deen of Islam. The character of a Muslim, the character, the akhlaq of a Muslim attracts a non-Muslim towards the beauty of deen. Do we display this type of character that Allah wants from us and Rasulullah SAW has emphasized again and again? Al-mu'minu man aminahu an-nasu ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim. A true believer is that person that an-nas, people, Muslims, non-Muslims, society, mankind in general are safe from a believer with regard to their wealth and their lives. We have neighbors. We have people we interact with in our corporate world, in our universities, our colleges, our schools, in our profession. We are traveling abroad. There are non-Muslims sitting near us. Do they become impressed with our akhlaq? This is the question we need to ask ourselves, because we can see day by day, respected brothers and elders, we're not being judgmental. May Allah first give me a good and excellent akhlaq and all of us. How many people have we drawn towards Islam by means of our character? Ask ourselves that million-dollar question. How many a person was impressed by my character, my way of life, the manner in which I spoke so kindly, so softly, so gently? When I did a business deal with him, a transaction, I did not lie to him, I did not cheat, I did not deceive. He was so impressed by my honesty that he wanted to know more about Islam and he accepted Islam. Or has the converse occurred with us, that many people who may have been interested in Islam because of our dealings, because of our actions, they refuse to accept Islam? Have you not heard the statement before? Of a person who reverted to Islam. And he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah that I learned Islam through the books and literature. Had I seen the qualities and the conduct of Muslims, I would have thought that no, this is not the right religion. And I would have been deprived of Islam. Is that not embarrassing for us? Every single day we read in the paper, Muslims, different type of scams, deception, treachery, deceiving the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by the marketplace. He happens to thrust his hand into a bag, a heap of some seeds, whether it was barley or rice, some type of corn. And he felt the bottom was wet. It had been camouflaged by that which was above it, which was dry. So there was some defect in the goods. He asked the person, why did you not place it on top so the buyer could see that there's a defect in this? The quality has now become inferior and you are covering it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, last night it rained, so some of this corn or wheat, it got damaged. And therefore I pushed it down. Rasulullah said, Man ghashana falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us, he does not belong to us. It is not befitting and behoving for him to call himself that I am a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is not the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Najwi rahmatullahi alayh, the great scholar, mufakkir of Islam, who has done brilliant works, not only acknowledged by the people in India and Pakistan, but even the Arab world. Many a prize he won in the Arab world. He was well known. When he passed on, I was present in Mecca at that time, and an announcement was made after the Isha Salah, before the Taraweeh, the month of Ramadan, both in Mecca and in Medina. They performed the Janaza Salah, Ghaib Janaza Salah of Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah, in the both Haramain Sharifin. Can you imagine what caliber personality he had? And he emphasized this point in various of his lectures, addressing the Muslims of India especially, and of course globally. He says, apne sifat mein taghayyur paida kar lijiye. There must be a change in our mannerism, our conduct, the quality that we have in us. We need to be true Muslims. We should stop cheating and deceiving mankind and being abusive and harming people. We're giving a very poor image of Islam. We're giving a tarnished picture of Islam. We may blame Islamophobia to a certain extent, but look at what damage you and I have done to Islam. Think again of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah's beautiful incident I mentioned in the beginning. Look at his honesty, that he impressed the people around him. Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi says, when we bring about these true qualities, what the Quran and Hadith talks about, that this is what a Muslim should be having in his life, he says, then we will find there will be a change, a global change. People will become attracted to us. People will feel comfortable to sit near us. They will want to inquire more and more about what is this beautiful deen that you are displaying. What is Islam all about? It is such a pure religion. It is not only our ibadah. Yes, of course, our ibadah also has some magnetic attraction. But besides that, imagine the person sees us and is attracted to our ibadah. But just after that, we do a deal with him and we go against our word and we lie to him, we cheat. Will he become impressed? The manner in which we speak to people? He says people observe a community by their actions, and this is the thing that will draw them to that community. When a person does, or he displays good akhlaq, then automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love such a person. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW, Al-Khalqu Iyalullah. The entire creation is like the family of Allah. Entire creation, Muslim, non-Muslim. فَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ. The best of mankind, the best of mankind is the one who does good to the creation of Allah. فُلَانَةٌ تُذْكَرُ بِسِيَامِهَا وَزَكَاتِهَا. A sahabi comes to Rasulullah SAW, Ya Rasulullah, a certain woman, she's very famous with regard to her excessive salat that she performed, nafil salat, and her rozas, abundant rozas she keeps, she fasts a lot, and she has become mashhoor, famous in the community. However, one problem she has, illa annaha tu'zi jiranaha bilisaniha. She's got a very loose tongue. She's unable to control her tongue and she hurts the feelings of her neighbors. She hurts her neighbors. She's abusive. What response was that of Rasulullah SAW? Hiya finnar. Hiya finnar. She goes to Jahannam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi has a neighbor who is a Jew. The Jew is selling his house. He has doubled the price. Doubled the price. Somebody says it's not worth 800 dinars. 400 dinars, that's the going rate. It's the market value. Why are you charging double the price? He says, one is for my house and one is to be the neighbor of Abu Hanifa. You want to be the neighbor of Abu Hanifa who has got such beautiful qualities in him. Imagine the Jew was impressed with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. How many neighbors have ours become impressed with our conduct? مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam continued to advise me, admonish me, remind me of the rights a neighbor has to such an extent, that I thought just now Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam will say, you know what, after you leave this world, your neighbor will even become an heir of your miras, your inheritance, your properties. To such an extent, Rasulullah was advised by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam regarding the rights of a neighbor. So we interact with people, Muslims, non-Muslims. They look at our behavior. They look at our akhlaq. Instead of becoming attracted to Islam, they are moving away and away. Read the newspaper. See the comments people are making. It is absolutely embarrassing. It brings tears to our eyes that we have reached such an ebb. Sahaba who went to China, it is recorded in the books of history. Some have mentioned Indonesia. They went on a business venture to do trade. The people who they dealt with, the business dealings they did, it was absolutely with honesty, truthfulness, that those non-Muslims living there became attracted to Islam and they embraced Islam there. That is how Islam spread to China and Indonesia. Islam was never spread through the sword. Never spread through the sword. It was through the akhlaq of people, akhlaq of the Sahaba. When people saw the Sahaba, the way they dealt with the people, how polite they were, how loving they were, how hospitable they were, how generous they were, how they forgave, how they tolerated. It impressed them and they came into the fold of Islam. Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi, another great sage, a muhaddith, he lived in Medina Munawwara toward the end of his life, teaching Bukhari Sharif in the Haram Sharif. We have no time to mention the various virtues of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi. He's traveling again by train in India. A non-Muslim is sitting in front of him, and after some time, the person wakes up to go to the toilet, and he comes back very quickly. Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi saw from his face that he was bechain, he was restless, he was not comfortable. He realized something was wrong. He went to the toilet, but he came back very quickly. He couldn't have relieved himself. So Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi goes to the toilet. And he finds that the toilet was in a very terrible condition. Very dirty. My respected brothers and sisters, Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi was of that caliber. With due respect to all our mashayikh and ulama we have, we can never match that caliber of Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi. Teaching Bukhari, teaching hadith. A great giant. He goes on his knees. And he cleans the toilet of the train. He comes back and politely with a smile, he begs the person who was a Hindu, go and relieve yourself. So the person goes. When he sees that the toilet was spotless, he relieves himself, he comes back and he says, I want to become a Muslim. He embraces Islam. Maulana Yusuf Kandalvi rahmatullahi in Hayatul Sahaba, when he explains the hadith of dawah, giving invitation towards Islam, various chapters he has mentioned and titles, subtitles. And one particular title that catches our attention is how Islam spread, how da'wah was given through the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba. Not by means of the words and invitation by words, but by means of the action. Zayd bin Su'na radiallahu ta'ala, he was a Jew first, a rabbi. The long incident short is that Rasulullah borrowed some money from him, because there was a person who came who was in need, and at that time Rasulullah did not have sufficient. So Zayd bin Su'ana was around, he overheard the conversation, and he gave a loan to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, repayable on a certain day. But he came before the due date. Before the due date, he comes and he demands repayment of his loan in a very harsh and cruel manner. He grabs hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his shawl. He tugs him very, very vehemently. He says, give me back my money now. In the presence of people like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, looking at him, they say his eyeballs began to rove. He became angry, about to draw his sword. Rasul seizes, Umar. You could have displayed better akhlaq, in my words. You could have done better than this. All you could have told this man, that he should not demand his debts in this way. And you could have told me, that pay off this man debts kindly. That's all. Umar, now go to Baytul Mal and repay him. Give him back his loan, plus give him extra surplus for your behavior. Umar radiallahu anhu is going to Baytul Mal, and this Zayd, who was a Jew, is going with him. And suddenly this Jew asks Umar, you recognize me? He says, no, who are you? He says, I'm Zayd bin Su'ana. Zayd bin Su'ana? The alim of the Yahud, are you behaving this way? He said, yes. I did this deliberately. I wanted to test your Nabi to see if he's a genuine Nabi. I wanted to see his tolerance, his patience, and he has passed the test. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَسُولًا. I want to embrace Islam. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu takes him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he recites the kalima, he recites the shahada, he embraces Islam. Look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what drew the people towards Islam. We are actually chasing away people away from Islam by means of our conduct, our behavior. Allah forbid, what is happening? When are we going to put a stop to it? When are we going to change our own condition and become an attraction to people coming to closer to Islam? We had our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Ali, Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullahi, my respected beloved father-in-law. And most of you seated here knew him, dealt with him. Every person is only full of praises for him. The woman folk at home also know this. And today I will relate a few more incidents perhaps you may have heard before. Look at his conduct with the people who lived around him, Muslims and non-Muslims. And I am bearing testimony to this fact because I was sitting right next to him. It was a Sunday afternoon. And we were sitting in his old house in the veranda. Perhaps I related this incident to many. But let us refresh in our memories and look at this man's akhlaq. An elderly old woman selling those broomsticks. She had a bundle in her hand. It was hot. She comes to Morana's house. He asks her, how much is it? He buys off that entire bundle. There were 10 broomsticks. And I thought to myself, 10 broomsticks? What is he going to do with 10 broomsticks? So he could see from my face that I'm a bit surprised. He pays her. And she's very happy and she goes. And then he tells me, let's just give one to his mother, to other ladies at home. And in that way, 10 were given. And then he told me, see this woman, she was perspiring. She's going to go door to door. Her whole day, she perhaps may just sell one or two brooms. Then she has to go back, carry this broomstick back to her home. Travel by bus or whatever it may be. Come again the next day or the next Sunday. This is what she's trying to earn a living. What was there? We lost nothing. And we just helped her out in this way. It didn't happen just once, it happened several times. There was another woman who was selling fruit. She had a whole basket of vegetables in a box. Maulana not only bought that vegetables, he paid for it, then after that he gave her back her fruit as a hadiya gift for her. Can you imagine the smile on that woman's face? Another small incident. He was at home, there were some children at home, and they ordered some pizza from some place. At that time, there was some thing that there is a red dot that appears on the box, and if by the time the pizza is delivered to your home, if it turns black, then they will refund your money or something, or they'll give you another pizza for free. It so happened that the man who was delivering the pizza got delayed, he couldn't find the house. By the time he came, the red dot was already black. So of course the children, they were curious, and they were saying, no, now you have to give us some refund and whatever. Hazrat Mawlana from inside heard some grumbling. What is it? They explained to him, that now we have to get a refund or we have to get another pizza free. It's a simple example, but for us to understand. And look at our lives in the corporate world. What type of dealings we conduct. Look at our akhlaq. Mawlana became angry. He says, for just one red dot becoming black, we can warm this thing in our own ovens. This man took all of the cliff. Perhaps he may lose his job. He may lose his job just over one pizza box. We'll lose nothing. Just to warm the pizza again. You know what Mawlana did? He apologized to that person. Plus he gave him hadiah from his side. So perhaps the mistake he made was a blessing in disguise for him. One occasion, it was Johannesburg Airport. And Hazrat Mawlana was coming back home. He had another bag full of kitabs. He goes to the counter. The man in the counter says, I can make a plan for you. I'll let you go through. Just see me right. Hazrat Mawlana explained, with all due respect, our religion is that of justice. And we are taught etiquettes, morals, character. I cannot give you a bribe. I cannot see you right. Anyway, Hazrat Mawlana paid for that extra weight. And this person became impressed. Hazrat Mawlana was unaware. He was on one side with some of his murideen. And he was sitting and talking to him. And this man was observing his. Something attracted him. What was the something? The akhlaq of Mawlana. He comes to him. He tells him, see, you refuse to pay a bribe. You're honest, very good. But there's something that is attracting me towards you. Tell me who you are and what is your religion. Hazrat Mawlana explained to him, gave him dawah. He accepted Islam there and there. Hazrat Mawlana gave him the name, I think if I'm not mistaken, Dawood. And then Hazrat Mawlana had a bottle of water, gave him to drink. After he drank that water, then Hazrat Mawlana drank the water to show him there is no racism in Islam. There is no racism in Islam. It's equality in Islam. May Allah give me that type of akhlaq. We shirk in our duties. Where are we going to get people like this back in this world? Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, another giant. Father Mufti Taqi and Mufti Rafi Usmani Rahmatullah Ali, very great person. In his days when he was in Dioban, he said, for Fajr Salah, I had to walk to go to the masjid. And as I had to go to the masjid, I had to pass by a little locality wherein there were non-Muslims living there, Hindus predominantly living in that suburb. He says, I'm going past and I see an elderly old woman, Hindu woman. She has a bucket of water and she is battling to carry that water. So I ran forward and I said, Amma, don't worry, let me carry it. She said, as I picked that bale of water, it was so heavy. I never carried something more heavy in my life. But anyway, I managed carrying it and I followed her and she took me to her home and I left that bale of water. And as I was coming back, I could hear her giving me some du'as in her own language. The next day, as I was being passed, I saw she threw her bucket in the well and she was struggling to take out some or draw some buckets of water. He said, I ran forward. Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah, if those of us who know who Mufti Shafi Sahab will understand. He says, I go, I said, please, let me do it. And I did this. And every day this was my norm, my habit, and nobody knew about it. But one day he was forced to explain to his children, his students, so that they may also bring this in their lives. And he says, it was a secret between me and this Hindu woman. And each time she would give me some du'as in her own words. My respected brothers and elders, there are so many ahadith of Rasulullah and so many incidents I wish to relate to you. The famous story in Bukhari Sharif, that woman who was a prostitute, a loose woman, but she had pity on a dog who was thirsty. And she gave that thirsty dog water to drink, Allah forgave her. Allah gave her Jannat in lieu of her action. Giving a dog water to drink. This is our Islam. Imagine a non-Muslim. Imagine a Muslim. Imagine human beings. How much more kind and affectionate we should be. And polite. And courteous. We are going somewhere. You need to go to the toilet. Perhaps it's a public toilet. There are the elderly people there. Show them your akhlaq. Let the elderly person go first. These are things that the youth especially have to bring into their lives. Read the stories of the incident of Salafi Saliheen. I specifically and deliberately mention about Hazrat Murana Rahmatullahi so you could relate to him. You could relate to these incidents. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the heaviest thing, the most weightiest deed on the scales of a believer on the day of Qiyamah will be his good character. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq to bring about this good character and not tarnish the image of Islam, but to show the people, the ummah, the non-Muslims, the beauty of Islam. Islam is a peace-loving religion. Islam brings people towards equality. Islam does not teach racism. Islam teaches us how to be kind to mankind. We are there to take people to Jannah, not throw people into Jahannam. May Allah give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.